We're very glad to have everyone with us today. And we're very glad to have our visitors. We appreciate your being here today. You know, the thing about God is He addresses all subjects in His Word. And the thing is, when we read God's Word, we need to confine ourselves to the message we find there. We don't want to add anything to God's Word. We want to maintain only what is written therein. And there are a lot of things that are dealt with there. Now, in the young men, some of the young men and I have been studying. And one of the things that we studied, we had occasion to study, was 1 Corinthians 7. And that had to do with marriage and divorce. And so I wanted to talk to you about that, because we need to look at this subject. I mean, this subject is a very, very important subject. And you know, we could say, well, why do we have to do that? Because it is part of God's Word. That's why. So we might say, well, why don't we leave that off? I can't leave that off. As a preacher of the Word of God, I cannot leave it off. So, we have visitors today, and I want you to know that we have to deal with it because it is God's Word. We cannot pick and choose. We have to deal with it. If it's God's Word, then we have to deal with it. And I'm glad to deal with it. Sometimes, you know, well, I got to do it. Well, I don't want to have that attitude. Anything that God says is for me and for you. And I want to honor Him. So it is a pleasure to say what God says about this subject. So I want you to understand that as well. The Bible teaching on marriage and divorce is simple. The complications come from people's failure to obey the teaching of Scripture. We base our study primarily on Genesis 2, 21 through 25. Now there will be a lot of other verses that we look at, but we're going to base our study on that. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's Genesis 2 and verse 24. God provided the marriage relationship at the very beginning of the Garden of Eden. You might remember how God made man. But man was alone. There was not a helpmeet for him. The idea of a helpmeet, we have to define that word. It would be better to say a qualified companion. See, a qualified companion. Suitable of the same nature as the man. A human being. Adam was a human being. Eve was also a human being. And God made her. He made her of Adam's rib. Oh, really? Yes. Look, here is a God who made the heavens and the earth. What could He not do? I know He could do anything. So He caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And He took a rib from his side. And from the flesh and bone of that rib, He made woman. Oh, we can wax poetic, and I'm prone to do that about as well as the next person. When I was a boy, you might have had this experience also. Did you examine your rib to see if you were missing one? Well, if you did, You might also think about, what about somebody that had three wives? Man, I'm missing half my rib cage. You know? Well, the idea is not that God did that always, but that beginning, Adam's rib was the one taken. And from that rib, the bone and the flesh, God made the woman. And I don't really like to go into too much detail about that, how he did it. Adam was missing a rib from then on. I don't really know. He may have taken the rib and closed up the flesh thereof. I don't know. And it doesn't matter. But he took that rib and then he brought this woman to Adam. And when he brought her to Adam, did he have to say, "Hey Adam, look at what I brought for you"? Did he have to explain to Adam? I don't think he had to explain a whole lot. I think Adam could look and say, "Hey, she is like me in many ways. She is a human being." And what he said, she is Isha, because she has been taken from Ish. Ish was the idea of the man. She has been taken from Ish. Therefore, her name is Isha. And so it was a wonderful thing. I think Adam was very glad to have her. Very glad to get her. I know I was certainly glad to get mine. And I miss mine. God provided the marriage relationship at the very beginning. There was hardly anything that went before that relationship. He made woman from man and brought her to man. And I think that Adam was delighted. And I wish that relationship had continued to be what it was there at the beginning. I wish sin had not entered into the world. There are many reasons I wish sin had not entered into the world. Do you all understand that sin is a blight? It is a blight. Whatever it strikes, it mars. It corrupts. It does. A relationship between a man and a woman who love each other, one of the most beautiful things ever made. And I think God had that in mind when He made the relationship. That's what He wanted. A beautiful thing. But I must point out, and I know this, I'm going to use a little liberty here. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Adam, Eve, a man and a woman. And that's the way it was in the beginning. And that's the way it is throughout the Bible. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Each woman shall have her own husband. Each man shall have his own wife." That's the law of the Bible. All throughout, that's the law of the Bible. That's the Word. That's the way it's supposed to be. Eve was human just like Adam was. That's exactly right. Adam and Eve were both human. "She shall be called woman because she was taken from man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." We have some children in the audience. And you need to understand that the time will come when you will grow. You will grow up. And the verse, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So you have that opportunity to get married and to grow old. Hopefully, grow old together. The time comes when a little boy grows up and becomes a man. And the little girl grows up and becomes a woman. When that happens, they leave home, and the young man will find a wife, and the young woman will find a husband, and they will start their own home. Oh, it's a sad day, though. It's a sad day in our day. We have people that have been married, and then they separate. And then they go and they get another partner of the same kind. The man goes and marries another man. The woman goes, leaves her husband and marries another woman. That is contrary to the will of God. Why do I not like it? Because it is contrary to the will of God. We must be aware of this fact. So the time will come when you grow up. Those of you who are children, time will come when you will grow up. You need to wait and let it happen. Don't rush things. Let it happen. And as it happens, let yourself mature. And as you mature, you need to be wise. All of you young people need to be wise. You need to think very carefully about your situation. What are you going to do when the time comes when it's time for you to get married? The young man will find a wife, and the young woman will find a husband, and they will start their own home. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The idea of one flesh, I think, is the idea that God gives the opportunity for a man and a woman to have a sexual relationship. Now, the reason why I'm specifying this, you know, when you've been around as much as I have, you've taken part, for example, in a lectureship, and they have a period of talking and questions. So somebody he had married somebody, and so somebody was talking about the sexual relationship is a necessary part of that. If you don't have that, you're not married. And this old gentleman, he stood up and he said, I have married my wife, but I cannot have a sexual relationship with her. Do you mean she's not my wife? Nobody wanted to answer that. The thing is, they're given the right. They're given the right to have the relationship. Most of the time, that's the relationship. But sometimes it's not. But they're given the right to have it. And so, in that case that I referred to, it's a beautiful thing. But it doesn't always require the sexual aspect. That may not be possible. But you can still be married. Now, Jesus quoted this verse, Genesis 2 and verse 24. He quoted this verse, and listen carefully to what Jesus said. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. What God hath joined together. Who joined them? God. How did He join them? when they married according to His will, then He's the one that joined them. And what Jesus said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's God's will. That's God's will. And His will is not to be trifled with. Do you know what God says in Malachi 2 and verse 16? God hates divorce. That's what Malachi 2:16 says. I hate divorce. That's what God says. What is His attitude? You know, I don't care for divorce. No, He says, I don't like it. I hate it. That's how abominable it is in the sight of God. No matter what. That's the way it is. No matter what. We can't change God's attitude. Oh, I think I'll change God's attitude. I'm not going to be able to change God's attitude. You can't change God's attitude. What about let's try? What about that? There's no need to try. We can't, because God's attitude is divine. We can't change it. God hates putting away. When Jesus was asked about this, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? That's what the Pharisees asked Him. He answered, no. N-O. He said, no. N-O. I don't know if we need to define that any further or not. You know, some people seem to have a problem knowing what N-O means. But Jesus said, no. They asked Him, can a man divorce his wife for any reason? No. And He said, you have invented many things, but it was not so at the beginning. That's the way it was at the beginning. He said a couple cannot divorce for just any reason. The best way to avoid divorce is to marry somebody who is really faithful, not someone who just claims to be a Christian. But I am sympathetic. You know what? Anybody can fall from grace. You might marry someone who is very faithful and he or she can fall from grace. How can you be certain? The answer is, I don't know how you can be certain. I know how you can make it as sure as you can, and that's what you need to do. First of all, you need to know this person that you're marrying. You need to know them. You need to know them for a while. This idea of meeting somebody and marrying them the third day, that's terrible. You're cruising for a bruising when you do that. You're asking for trouble. You need to get to know them. You really need to get to know them. You need to see them in action. You need to look how your prospective husband treats the other women in his life. Men need to look at how the prospective wife treats the others in her life. You need to get acquainted with them. You have to come to know them well. And both you and your partner have to agree on this. You have to agree on it. Because you know what will happen if you don't agree on it? Then suppose one of you who does not agree walks off. Now what? You see, yeah, it's necessary that you agree. If you don't agree, then the walk will come. I wish I could make things different. But listen, you have to come to know them well. Both you and your partner have to agree on this. And then one of the most important things, you and your partner have to treat each other with love and consideration. Treat your partner with love and consideration. Is it easy? It may not always be easy, but it is possible. Oh, I could tell you some stories about women that I have known that they're so wonderful. They put up with the most abominable situation, and they honored their husband when it was not easy. There are some husbands, it is terrible to try to honor them because you're trying to find something to honor. And there are some women, you can't treat them well enough. There is no well enough in their view. So that kind of thing happens. But if you want a marriage to last, you're going to have to treat your partner with love and consideration. Well, I don't love my partner anymore. Well, you've just sinned. It's not, well, it's okay then. No, it is not okay. It is not okay. It never will be okay. You need to love that partner. If you've lost your love, you need to go back and find it. You need to go back and find it. Oh, I'm trying to tell you. What I tell you grows out of many things. It grows out of my life, my relationship with my wife. And I was not perfect. And although I hate to say it, she wasn't perfect either. I really don't like to say that now that she's gone. Because I have trouble remembering what was wrong. I don't remember what was wrong with her. Love and consideration. You need to have that for your wife. You need to have that for your husband. That's what you need to do. The only thing that Jesus says one may divorce for is if one partner is unfaithful to the other. That's it. One partner is unfaithful to the other. Unfaithful. Does not mean unfaithful to attend services. You might have a wife who becomes unfaithful to attend services. That does not give you the right to divorce her. Not at all. So unfaithful does not mean unfaithful to attend services, although that is a bad thing. Unfaithful means that a husband starts being with another woman, or the woman starts being with another man, and they go to bed together for sexual activity. That's exactly what it is. And in our day, we also have to consider the homosexuality, which has unfortunately come to be woven in the warp and the woof of our society. This is called adultery. Adultery. Fornication includes adultery, but it also means when people are not married, when they go to bed together for sexual activity. It is an abomination in the sight of God. Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife makes her an adulteress, unless he divorces her for adultery. He says that whoever marries the woman that is divorced commits adultery. And it's vice versa. Remember that. The whole thing is vice versa. He also says that whoever marries the woman that is divorced commits adultery. That's the way it is. Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. He also says that if a man divorces his wife without the cause of adultery and marries another, he commits adultery. Matthew 19 and verse 9. If a man divorces his wife because she is guilty of adultery, then he does not make her an adulteress by putting her away. She makes herself one. That's the idea. He's not responsible. She has made herself one. The man who divorces his wife for adultery does not make the man who marries her an adulterer. That man is an adulterer because he has married a woman who has no right to get married again. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in the Bible. The man who divorces his wife for adultery does not commit adultery himself if he marries again because he divorced his first wife because she was unfaithful. He has the right. He has the right to get married again. But his wife does not. You know, we're fond of bottom lines. You want a bottom line? The only thing that ends a marriage without sin is death. The only thing that ends a marriage without sin is death. That's kind of jarring, isn't it? That's kind of startling. But that's the truth. That's God's word. We need to abide by that word. Romans 7 verses 1 through 3 and 1 Corinthians 7 verse 39 make it clear that the only thing that ends a marriage without sin is death. Those passages make that very clear. So I hope that you will take heed to these things. You know, what you need to do, listen, if things are not going well in your marriage, you know what you need to do? You need to get with it. Get with the program. I've had some success in working with married people. Not much. I don't brag about it. I don't brag. I certainly have not done enough to brag about it. But I remember a couple that came to us. They came to us in the evening. And the woman was shedding copious tears. Does it surprise you to know the man was not shedding copious tears? He was not. What he was doing was coming in, there's no point in doing this. There's no point in doing this. There's no good. We're not going to do anything. You can't do anything. That's what he was saying. So what we told that couple was, we said, listen, we just sat them down. We can't fix your marriage. That kind of shocked them. But we can help to fix you. And you know what is the problem if you have a marriage that's not working? It's the people. One or both. It's the people. That's the problem. And you can't make the marriage work, but you can make the people work. And if you solve the problem with the people, then the marriage will work. It'll be resolved. And the Lord blessed us richly because we did succeed. We helped that couple to put things back together. And we helped them to put their lives back together. I am so thankful. I'm so thankful. So many times when I do a thing, I try to do the thing, and it doesn't work. And I feel like a big failure. Well, it doesn't matter about how I feel, but I still feel that way. Try to help somebody with a problem, and I can't do it because they won't do what it takes. Still, that makes me feel like a failure when it's not my fault. But I still feel that way. Because I care about people. I care about the people that I work with, that I study with, that I have a relationship with. They mean a lot to me. All of you mean a lot to me. You mean what you will let yourselves mean to me. Sometimes there's something in your life that will not let you level with me. Then I don't know what I can do. But I do love you. And I always hate when there is a problem, and often there is. So I hope that this lesson will make you determine you are going to do what it takes to make your marriage work. And you can do it. And one of the things, I think the two things, love and consideration. Love and consideration. True love. Love and consideration. When you are not living, when you're not treating your wife right, or if you're not treating your husband right, can you talk about it? Sometimes there is no talking about it. And when that occurs, you can't do anything because it takes two. It does. It takes two. So if you're having a problem, you and your wife, you and your husband are going to have to work on it together. And you're going to have to love each other. And you're going to have to look for ways to make it work. And there are ways to make it work. There are ways to make it work. But you have to look for them and you have to want them. Otherwise, you'll find it hopeless. I hope you will take what I've said to heart today. It may be that you are not a Christian. One of the most important things about this relationship is you need to be sure that your marriage relationship or a relationship you contemplate involving marriage is a scriptural one. Because otherwise, if you are scripturally baptized and you're unscripturally married, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to undo that unscriptural marriage. You need to be careful. The Bible is very clear on this subject. So I hope that you will take that into consideration, all of you. And the wonderful thing is, there are a whole lot of you who have never been divorced. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. Honor your husband. Honor your wife. Love each other. Keep it together. It may be that you're not a Christian. I plead with you to become a Christian. One of the best things you could do for your marriage is become a devoted child of God, a real one. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Confess the name of Jesus and be baptized to have your sins forgiven. If you're subject to that invitation, we plead with you to come as we stand and sing.